Welcome to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. If you would like to participate on today's program, call now, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
All right, here we go. Think Again. Think Again. Welcome to our topic discussion program, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Western New York, still fighting the war on poverty, now in our 53rd year. Each week, we talk to you about issues, events, and trends affecting you right here and right now in Buffalo and the Western New York community, and in fact, connect you to communities all across the country. I'm your host, L. Nathan Hare, President and CEO of the Community Action Organization. Make us a part of your Saturday every Saturday at ESPN 1520 AM on your dial from 11 o'clock to 12 noon each week. Now, today's program is live, so you can call and you can join our discussion. Hope that you will. Our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Now, folks, we've had a hiatus now for about 4 weeks, I think it's been, right, Andy? It's got to be pretty close to 4 weeks because, you know, we have high-quality football teams in our area. And the UB Bulls, they are 7-1. So even though I hate not having been on the air and being able to talk with us over the course of these past few weeks, we have had some success with our local football team. But let me get right into our subject because I see we got Tony hanging out there and John from Lockport hanging out there. And I want to get to them in just a few minutes. But let me just lay some things out to get us going. Of course, we're all aggrieved about this craziness going on in our country. If you look in the Buffalo News in the A section, the editorial page, there's a cartoon that was drawn by a fellow named Adam Zyglis. And I think it characterizes my thoughts about what's been going on. What he shows is a two-panel cartoon. On the left side is a cartoon drawing of a crowd of people seeking asylum into the United States on the one hand, and on the right side is a van with all of these Trump, MAGA, you know, hate media insignia on it, and a mailbox right to the right side of the car with a sign asking, and this all takes place under a sign asking which of these is the nuclear is the national threat. And I think that that's really the gist that we should be looking at in terms of what's been going on here. We've got the President of the United States making a national dance out of the assertion that we were under some national threat because 5,000 or 6,000 refugees escaping from gangs and other kinds of violence in Honduras and Guatemala and those areas of Latin America, who are literally walking alongside of buses trying to make their way to the United States. Even if all 6,000 of those people showed up at the border, A, most of them are not going to be granted asylum. Most are going to wind up being turned back. And B, how does that make a national security issue for the United States? These people are not coming here to attack the country, despite Donald Trump trying to throw a complete made-up lie before the public that there were some Middle Eastern people that were sprinkled through the caravan. A, he had absolutely no reason to say something like that. He just said that because he thought it would provoke people like many in our listening audience who hear something like that and think because it was said by the President of the United States, well, it must be true. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that any of that is true. So Donald Trump complained. This is what I found so unbelievable. Donald Trump's reaction to the mail bomb bombing a terrorist attempt by this Cesar, I think he's Kayak. His reaction was his asserting that the coverage of the crude bomb pipe bomb attacks was reducing the Republicans' momentum in the midterm elections. Now, just think about that for a second. 14 bombs were sent through the mail, targeted at prominent people in the United States who were Democrats or progressive people. 14 bombs were sent, and the President of the United States, his response is, boy, this is terrible. This is slowing down our momentum. We were really gaining traction in the polls. That's the way he visualized that. Later, he tweeted that this big bomb stuff, his in quotes, that's his words, this big bomb stuff had distracted from the news from politics, which was hurting the policy, hurting the party. He says that Republicans are doing so well in early voting and at the polls, and now the bomb stuff happens and the momentum greatly slows. News not talking politics, very unfortunate. What is going on? That's a Donald Trump tweet, which he ends with, Republicans go out and vote. Number one, how does Trump conclude that the large increase in early voting is helping Republicans? I don't even know where he gets that from. Fortunately for America, the person who likely committed these crimes, Cesar Kayak, has been caught. But without the slightest remorse or empathy, Trump immediately cast the blame on the media for fomenting anger by the incompetent FBI. Yes, cast blame on the media for fomenting anger in society. And one of Trump's tweets hit out at CNN, where two of the packages were addressed. And of course, the electronic media continue to give Trump free publicity, just like they did during Trump's presidential campaign, televising every moment of every one of his campaign speeches and allowing all of the lies and gibberish that he spouts to stand unchallenged until some little pieces of it are talked about in an analyst program later on in the day, but allows this stuff to just be spewed. Other candidates are running for office. You don't see them having their campaign rallies being televised from an hour before the campaign rally starts, all during the campaign rally, and then an hour and a half after the campaign. You never see that done for everybody else. They do it for every single one of Trump's campaign rallies, even though they all say the same thing over and over and over again. Less than 2 weeks before the midterm elections, the discovery of these pipe bombs sent to prominent Democrats and others, an episode that would normally have prompted national reflection in another era with another kind of president. But it hardly made a ripple on the campaign trail. Attack ads remain on the air. The attack lines of the Republicans accusing the Democrats of supporting crime, supporting loose borders, supporting every kind of unsafety for the United States, just continues to go on and on and on without any relent. Some Trump critics have blamed him for, and I think appropriately, for setting a harsh tone and not taking responsibility for contributing to the poisonous political atmosphere. I'm going to say this and I'm going to get on the phones. Julian Castro, I think, sets the sentiment correctly. He says, and I'm quoting, nobody else is being as divisive and as insightful as Donald Trump. And so to suggest otherwise is completely wrong. Julian Castro, by the way, is the former Housing and Urban Development Secretary for the federal government during the Obama administration. And he says, we wouldn't even be having this conversation with any other president, Republican or Democrat, because they would be big enough to avoid this kind of hateful and insightful rhetoric. There's so much more that we're going to be able to talk about, but let me get to the phones real quick. Let's get to Tony first, and we'll get to John in Lockport. Tony, how are you doing out there?
Well, I'm having a little problem, but I'll be okay. Thanks for your thoughts and prayers over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you had me worried there for a minute.
Well, I'm still kicking, my friend.
All right, that's what I want to hear.
One of the big issues you just forgot to talk about is pre-existing conditions, which all of a sudden the Republicans are claiming they're for. The only problem is there's court cases in three states, including Texas, that want to get rid of all pre-existing coverage.
Right. And so, in fact, the very people who are signatories on the bill are going around in their campaigns right now claiming that they're going to protect people's access to health care and pre-existing conditions, even though they themselves are the ones who are sponsoring the bill. You can't be more, Hippocratic or more hypocrisy, you know, than that.
Yeah, you got that right.
Hypocritical, that's the word.
Malcolm Nance, who's an expert on intelligence and terrorism this morning on AM Joy, called Trump, citing him as working against the best interest of the United States and its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's really not a president. That's what Malcolm Nance just said, because he said no other president of the 44 before him would have ever done what he's done in his administration. One of the things that is being set up, and I hope you will think about this, folks, that caravan that's, and you and I think alike a lot of times, but I don't, you know, I'm just saying this, the caravan coming across the United, towards the border, Trump and Mattis, the defense guy, secretary, are going to send between 800 and 1,000 U.S. Army troops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about this. The U.S. Army troops are not allowed to carry weapons when they go to be a deterrent at the border.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they can only block the entrance of those coming in. They can't use shotguns, tanks, bazookas against people. You're talking about women who took the journey with and brought their babies in strollers.
Yep.
So these people are going to be purposely confronted so that, what do you think the date is, a week before the election? That this man is diabolical.
Mm-hmm.
He's evil. He's going to present this to the American people, at least the third that believe in this person, and say, point blank, look, they're trying to come in, and we're trying to stop them. And if, God forbid, if a bullet is fired.
Yep.
Just think, yep, one of those people coming in that caravan may be a U.S. citizen.
Maybe a child. Right. Maybe
a
child. Right.
Oh, I. This is perfect for Trump. This is what he wants. Don't you see?
Yep.
He wants this to be a divide and conquer thing again. And by the way, what the networks are not telling you is they've built other facilities to hold these people.
Mm-hmm.
Along the border. They built lots of facilities. So this is something interesting. You were talking about the lies. Remember about Saudi Arabia? What happened to the death of that journalist? We
right.
haven't heard a thing.
Right. Khashoggi, right.
Thing.
Yep.
Right. Why? Why have we not heard anything? Because the Saudis want to cover it up for the prince.
Yep.
Because he's nothing but a thug. And by the way, who's helping him? A guy who doesn't even have an official position in the United States government, named Jared Kushner.
Mm-hmm.
And think about this. President Trump said they were trying to sell $110 billion and had a contract. There is no signed deal with the Saudis.
Right.
Saudi can't even afford to pay for these weapons. Obama sold them $25 million at the end of his term.
Exactly. Most of what he's talking about is stuff that were deals that were done during the Obama administration. They just didn't get consummated until now.
Now, look at the effects of Michael. I'm talking about Michael the Storm.
The Storm, right.
Right. Have you heard anything about FEMA being able to supply them with anything? No,
what you're hearing is that on those small islands over there that are being hit by the current storm that's going on right now, that literally a small island got wiped out. It doesn't even exist anymore.
And what did we talk about before the break? FEMA's budget was slashed by who? This president.
Yep.
So where's the money going to come from?
Yep.
Private people.
And as you're talking about that, also keep in mind that Mitch McConnell and Trump and the Republicans are talking about how they're going to have to do something with the entitlement programs because the budget deficit has just gotten so far out of hand, even though the difference between the revenue they were getting in the year that ended September 30th of 2017, and what they're getting in the year ending September 30th, 2018, that loss in revenue is almost entirely the loss of revenue from corporate taxation because they lowered corporate taxes, right?
$850 billion deficit has already been added.
Yep.
Now get this. Do you realize that Jared Kushner is a covert operator? He's not scrutinized by Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He has no official title. He's over there in Saudi Arabia. What did he go to Saudi Arabia for lately? He sought a $30 million loan from the Saudis for his buildings in New Manhattan.
For himself.
Right.
He's using his position in the government to go and campaign for business deals for himself.
Yeah, here's the worst part of this. Jared Kushner gave the Saudi prince a hit list of five enemies that our intelligence agencies compiled.
Mm.
And guess who was on that hit list?
Who? Khashoggi?
The guy from the Post.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so he was one of them. Why would a person with no title and has no obligation, you know, he's there to beg for money, be sent? Do you know how many times Kushner has spoken in 2 years?
In public, about twice.
Yes. About what?
I'd say about twice.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Yeah, he said something when he left the White House one day a year and a half ago at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Last point I'm going to make. Trump uses this iPhone.
Right.
And this is why Malcolm Nance said that he is against the interest of the United States. Do you know what that iPhone does? That phone can be intercepted by the Russians and Chinese. You really don't have to give them any, because they don't have to hack anymore, except into the phone of the president.
Right.
He was told when he entered the White House by secret agencies, Secret Service, he should not be using an iPhone because he, and in fact, last night we found Rachel said he's left it behind four times so far this year.
Yep.
And anybody could get into it. I thank you for giving me the time.
Thanks, Tony. We'll talk to you next week. Let's take our first break, and then we'll get John on, then we'll get Ron on. So y'all stick with us. We will see you on the other side of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
It's the Sports Collectors Expo, October 27th and 28th at Batavia Downs. Autographed guests include former football stars Emmitt Smith, Bruce Smith, Andre Reed, Marv Levy, Daryl Talley, and Buffalo hockey stars Matthew Barnaby and Pat LaFontaine. Other baseball and football stars will be appearing. Full list of guests and details at legendsandstars.net. While here, discover why Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel is the area's premier entertainment destination. Open daily, 8 a.m. to 4 a.m. off Thruway Exit 48, Batavia.
Are you a home brewer, or do you want to learn about home brewing? Tune in at 9 a.m. on ESPN 1520 for Just Brew It. Just Brew It, hosted by Jeremy White and Bert Deister from Niagara Tradition Homebrew. Tune in Saturdays at 9 a.m. on ESPN 1520 for Just Brew It.
It's time for your bachelor's degree to pay off. GEICO's looking for leaders to enter our management development program. Starting annual salary is $45,000 to $49,500, with a potential to make $52,000 to $55,000 within a year. Visit geico.jobs/buffalo to apply.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
All right. Welcome back to Think Again. This is L. Nathan here, your host, and we're talking about this bizarre craziness that, you know, honestly, we've been talking about this over the past 2.5 years. I remember Ron having a discussion with me about what is likely to occur. This began about 2.5 years ago with this constant inference that, you know, if you don't go along with me, violence is going to ensue. This, he was talking first. Trump was talking about this Second Amendment protection stuff, you know, at one hand. But this is spilled over into just if you don't go along with, you know, us as these rabid conservatives, then, you know, violence is likely to be the outcome. And I believe, well, I'm going to go into all of the people that called the show that said that. But let me get Ron or John first, and then we'll get Ron on. John, how are you doing out there in Lockport?
Good, Nathan. You know, I think the media is the problem, and I'll tell you which media.
Mm-hmm.
Rush Limbaugh had already come up with this conspiracy theory that it was the Democrats who sent all these bombs out.
Right.
So they would distract from the Republicans, the rise in the Republicans. And a bunch of other conspirators came up with all these crazy ideas, too. But the media is the problem. 90% of talk radio is right-wing conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Fox News, the Wall Street Journal, Inquirer, on the internet, all this crazy fake news. I mean, the media is the problem, basically. But it's not the media you think that you think about
right.
Normally.
Right. Well, see, what it is it's not the media per se. It's the law that was changed where you used to have balance in the media.
Right.
So if you have a right-wing program, you got to have the fairness doctrine. And
right.
when
yeah.
that was taken apart, then it was supposedly the free market was going to, you know, determine what media got on. So whoever had the biggest dollars, and obviously those people that wanted lower taxes are the people that had the highest incomes. So they began to finance media that would, you know, push the line that was most appealing for them. And that's how we kind of got down this road. Now you've got maybe 8 or 9, maybe 10 mogul big media conglomerates that control virtually 80% of all of the media in the United States. You're really just getting one voice. It's in Fox News.
I think there's more like five of those.
Right. You know, Fox News is like probably the most sophisticated of those, and they're not terribly sophisticated to me, but the most sophisticated of those voices. And everything downline from them is just extreme ranting, you know, mischaracterizations, lying, you know, and so on. That's what's really going on right now. And because that's all people hear, as I try to teach people all the time, you become what you hear. So if you keep hearing the same thing from all of the sources that you're hearing things from over and over and over again, you're going to turn into whatever it is that you are hearing.
Right. And Facebook and these other internet people are not screening like they should.
Yep.
I mean, there's so much hate that goes over the internet that Facebook is not doing its job, either or any of the other agencies. There, also, the thing about pre-existing conditions, the trick of the Republicans is this. They are going to ensure pre-existing conditions. But it's going to be so expensive to get
right.
that insurance that people with pre-existing conditions will not be able to afford it.
Right.
And on top of that, they're gonna run these insurances just like they run car insurance. The elderly, because of greater risk, are going to pay more too. So
yep.
The older you are, the more you're going to pay, just like in any other kind of insurance. So if you leave it up to the insurance companies, they're going to do what's best for them, not what's best for the people.
And they have been so aggressive and deceitful in using their control of the media to deceive senior citizens, so that a large chunk of Trump's base has been senior citizens who think that Trump is going to protect them, you know, against, you know, some predator coming through their door and beating them up in the course of the night and robbing them and so on. Trump
right.
has done a good job of selling that. And what he's really doing as a consequence of that is taking apart the Affordable Care Act, taking apart the, people's access to quality health insurance at affordable rates, protecting ourselves from the continuing erosion of our environment. I mean, a whole range of things that the Trump administration is doing to people. But he's got this seductive message going with a portion of the population that, you know, these non-European people coming across the borders, you know, from Mexico, they're the threat to the United States, not the people that are basically destroying you in terms of taking advantage. I know we got a bunch of calls hanging on here.
Yeah,
so
I just got to mention this, though, Nathan. I went to see Joe Biden the other night.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's fabulous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and you don't have, do you have an email online or anything that I can?
Yeah, you can get me at lnathanhare.
Okay.
The number 45.
Okay.
At gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nathan.
All right. Talk to you soon. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. Let me grab Ron and Cheektowaga real quick and get his thoughts. I know we got Kevin and other John out there, too. Ron, how you doing out there?
Oh, not too bad. Long time no hear. Huh?
I know. but UB did well, you know, over that time period. So
7-1. I just wish they had beaten Army. If they did, they might actually be.
Oh man, we would be like number.
That was one they should have won too. Remember, they scored a touchdown.
Yep.
They intercepted a pass. Came down. They got a touchdown called back on a penalty, and then it just seemed to collapse after that.
I think they just got nervous feet. You know, sometimes you know the moment was just a little bit too big for them. So
whatever. Anyway, did I referred you right around that time with the last time we talked to Malcolm Nance's book, The Plot to Destroy Democracy? Did you ever?
Right. Yep.
You ever get your hands on that?
I have it right now.
Okay, because if you see what they're saying, and this is really, remember, this guy bona fide is a CIA, NSA guy, a Reagan Republican, back from the 80s, and he from then up through, I guess, the late 90s, and he basically. Has been saying that all this white nationalism stuff that you see across Europe and the United States, we've had a lot of that for better part of 70, 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
But up until the last 15 or 20 years, they couldn't get out of their own way. Even you hear, it used to be a very good program before Eisner and ABC Disney bought up the History Channel. It was called The Rise and Fall of the Ku Klux Klan. Remember that was narrated? It was on History Channel.
Yep.
It was narrated by James Earl Jones. With that, you know, that eloquent sounding Broadway type of voice, you know, that he had. Anyway, okay, they couldn't get out of their own way most of the time. All of us, and they didn't have a huge amount of money because, of course, a lot of their support came from the rural South and Midwest. Okay,
right.
Those aren't the richest people. All of a sudden, they've gotten lots of money to play with, and they seem to be uniting, and their differences, they're papering them over, and it's in Europe, in Eastern Europe, in Central Europe, and to a degree even in Western Europe, and now in the United States. And this book makes very strong evidence that Putin's GRU people are now organizing these behind the scenes to destabilize Western democratic systems.
Yep.
If you, I don't know if you've got finished the book or because that's basically what it says in there. Anyway,
that's his core message. That's what he talks about when you see him on MSNBC. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, he is on their occasion. That's right. Anyway, the thing that's scaring me about this, because the Republicans have so much money, they're actually starting to convince people, even though they've 72 times, already touched on 72 times, they voted to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act. They're actually starting to have some impact in convincing people that somehow they're going to protect pre-existing conditions parts of the Affordable Health Care Act. Now, it's all a package. How you can get rid of the mandate and get rid of the insurance subsidy and guarantee that, nobody explains. And the media won't ask any of these guys how you're going to do that because they want to get rid of most of the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
They've already gotten rid of part of it. The individual mandate's gone, and the subsidies to insurance companies are gone.
Right.
And then they're going to get rid of the extended Medicaid. Okay, how are you going to pay, or who's going to pay for the pre-existing conditions if you don't have those other parts of it? That was part of the way of keeping the pre-existing conditions, by giving the insurance. As long as you got to have the private insurance companies involved at all, you're going to have to pay some of that. Somebody's going to have to pay it somewhere. Insurance companies aren't going to like if they're going to have to pay for it. So nobody ever asks them that.
You know, what would make sense is to sit down and look at what portion of America's personal income makes up the total healthcare budget for the United States. In other words, healthcare spend for the United States. Let's suppose that ends up being, say, 7% of our $3.6 trillion personal income tax revenue. Let's suppose that that's the case. If you turn that into an increase in the overall personal tax rate and had a essentially Medicaid for all kind of health insurance program and eliminated, you know, insurance payments altogether, there'd be no deductibles and so on. You're just like you pay into FICA, you pay into a, you know, whatever the name would be, you know, for that a subsidy of health care. I think that everybody would wind up coming out with less money coming out of their pockets to pay for health insurance and have pretty much universal health insurance. If you wanted something above what you would get in the base national package, then you would pay for that as an individual. But I think if you did it that way, you could control these overall costs for health care much better than we're able to do that right now. And even if what I just said doesn't make any sense, somebody should come up with an idea that does make sense, that covers all of these bases.
Well, you would have to also do something that would we haven't even talked, because I think the last time we talked that Kavanaugh hadn't been approved, okay,
right,
or appointed. Okay, now he's on there. The real problem with this, to do a real health care reform, you know, I remember back in about 1992 when the Clinton plan was being proposed, they asked the Minister of Health for Ontario, how do you control costs? He says you control costs. You have a board that says, basically, cost plus 5%,
right,
cost plus 10%.
Right.
If that's not part of it, that's how they control costs,
right,
in most of the rest,
right,
of the civilized world. It,
right,
has a national system. If you don't do that, you're going to have a problem. That's why the Republicans come up with this. It's going to cost $3.2 trillion to do that. Well, yeah, if you do nothing to control costs,
right,
it will cost a lot of money. You control costs by controlling costs. And part of it, that's something that with these new court, just these crackers on the court, is the only way I can describe it, they're going to define corporate freedom. And that is the real danger of this. And I think, again, the Democrats missed the point during these hearings.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of appointing these guys superficially, you know, they get the white Bubba vote there, is abortion and gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
That is bad enough, but their whole goal is to tie all rights, privacy rights, labor rights, environmental rights, health care rights, to corporate profit. If any of those rights contradicts or inhibits in any way
corporate profit,
they will be ruled unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And that's, I've never heard one Democrat on any of these hearings make that point. That's the danger. You got 70% of people, most of the polls now, want some form of either enhanced ACA,
yep,
or a single payer.
Yep.
These court people are going to be sued if that ever comes. Let's assume by 2020 the Democrats take the Senate, the House, and the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's a given by any means, but if they did, okay, so they want to get a better health care, either enhance Obamacare, put a public option in there, and that type of thing, or take go single payer. The courts will overrule, yep, it. These five guys on there will say, no, that's inhibiting corporate freedom.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks, Ron. I got to run. I got to get more calls in. I thank you so much. I think it's Other John we got. Yeah, let me grab Other John in Buffalo first, then we'll get Kevin, then we'll get John. Or it's the other way around.
Oh, somebody using,
yep,
him? Yes.
Okay, John, I got you there. John? Oh, sorry. Well, let's get Kevin up, then we'll try to get Other John back. Kevin, how you doing out there?
Long time no hear, my
brother. Long time, yes, sir. Did you watch the UB football team play over the course of this?
They're looking impressive, man.
They've been doing great. They're doing great.
Listen, from a soccer guy who don't know much about football, I think we should send those guys on the first roster for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, let's not do that. But, you know, but let me just kind of hit you with a couple of things while I got you on the phone.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's your thoughts about this Cesar Kayak? Go ahead.
Look, Nick, we know we have whack jobs and crazy people on both sides of the aisle, okay? When I say people, I mean, you know.
Okay, but see, but I don't want, I guess what I want us to not do, this is the false equivalency stuff. If
what?
If I punch you in the head,
yes.
And then you take a shotgun and shoot me in the head,
mm-hmm.
We're both acting crazily, but one of us is acting more crazily than the other one. So there needs to be recognition that these are not equivalent situations. The fact that some Democrats who are not the actual name brand Democrats, they're not the heads of parties, they're not the heads of big organizations, they're just a person, you know, who's out in the crowd, says something ugly about Republicans, that's not the same thing as the president of the United States saying that the media is the enemy of the state. Those are not equivalent things. So we shouldn't talk about them as if they're equivalent.
Well, Nate, I'll tell you something, man. When you have something to back that statement, and I'll give you an example, okay?
Okay.
You remember the Bernie Sanders
yes.
supporter and the guy who did
right.
target practice?
Right. He was a mentally deranged he's a Bernie Sanders supporter. Mentally deranged, but you never heard anybody at a Bernie Sanders rally. You never heard a single person talk about trying to hurt the Republicans, shooting Republicans, beating Republicans up.
Whoa. Before you go on there, Nate, go on one thing though. Let me finish what I'm saying here. When this person was shooting Republican congressmen only, okay?
Yes.
And the media. I did not hear the media describing him as the Bernie Sanders shooter or the Bernie Sanders attempted assassin.
And the media didn't describe Caesar Kayak to this very moment. We've been living with this since Monday. The media has not. The media has never described Caesar Kayak as a Republican attempted assassin. No one's ever said that. Not a single person. Not one.
The word Republican wasn't used, but they used the. I think one of them. The Made America Great Again.
They used the fact that he himself was wearing. He had a picture of himself that he took himself. That he took himself of being at a Republican rally. He was wearing one of those red MAGA, Make America Great Again hats.
Right.
So that's that's a fact. That's not something that somebody assumed or interpreted, you know, and so on. That's the facts. That's him describing himself. That's not, you know, the Democrats describing him. That's him describing himself. You have the right to say your name is Kevin. I don't have the right to say your name is Malcolm. If you say your name is Kevin, your name is Kevin. Well, this guy said that he was a rabid conservative Republican who also was a stark, raving, mad madman who used his madness to attempt to intimidate over a dozen progressive Democratic people because he didn't like their politics in favor of his politics. And he was a Donald Trump avid fan, not because some Democrat says that he is. He says that he is. That's his description of himself.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I got a rock, man. Okay. I got to get more calls. I got to get in this time period. Should we take let's take our last break. We got at least three more calls. We got to get in before the end of the show. So if you all stick with us, we will send us out of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
It looks like a flying saucer with long, stilty legs. Halloween night 1968, the radio broadcast that rocked Western New York. WKBW Radio's War of the Worlds 50 years later, the film that explores the legacy of Buffalo's radio Martian invasion. An exclusive screening Tuesday, October 30th at 7 p.m. at the North Park Theater, featuring WBEN Sandy Beach and Tim Wanger. Tickets available at northparktheater.org, sponsored by Niagara County Community College and the Buffalo Niagara Film Office, produced by All Services Western New York.
A little tip for you folks, go to the Dr. J. Richards Show on Google and check out my website with a bio, pictures, and recent shows from previous Saturday mornings. And while you're there, click on to Geico and Tim Lynch and get a free quote on your auto and homeowners. That's the Dr. J. Richards Show on Google. At the same time, save some money on insurance with Tim Lynch and Geico. Right on, kids.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520. You're listening.
And just so we're clear, you know, I mean, this I really get strained about this continuous false equivalency that keeps being promoted, that just because somebody who's not even a part of a campaign, who's very far on the fringe, says something extremist, that that somehow characterizes the party, the leaders of the party, progressive people who are trying to champion progressive causes, that some one person on the extreme characterizes those people. But when a person who actually attends rallies, who purports himself to be a strident Trump supporter, on the media all the time, social media all the time, putting forth his views, when that person acts in the way that this Cesar Kayak acts, we get this false we get this false equivalency, and we have to attack that. We can't allow that to occur. Give me a quick example. If in terms of Trump and someone in February of 2016, he said, if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the, you know, like, can I say the word C-R-A-P? Is that legal? Yeah, that's legal. OK. knock the crap out of them, would you? Then he says, seriously, OK, just knock the fill in the blank. I promise you I will pay for the legal expenses. He then goes on to say, he says, I promise. He then endangers journalists by calling most of the press the enemy of the people. He's used this phrase so many times that it has actually become normalized in the conversations of American people. We don't even react to it when he says it anymore. He uses the enemy of people, which was a phrase that was used by Nazis to demonize Jews and by Stalin to attack his political opponents. He threatened to lock up his political opponents, particularly talking about former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. He referred to, but he also said that referring to Senator Dianne Feinstein recently as well. He also referred to Christine Blasey Ford, who put forward what she said had taken place with her, where this Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, according to her, attempted to rape her along with one of his friends. He referred to her as among really evil people. Trump has recently tweeted, Democrats have become too extreme and too dangerous to govern. He says Republicans believe in the rule of law, not the rule of the mob. But all you see at the Republican rallies are mobs. He also tweeted the anti-Semitic lie that those protesting the Kavanaugh appointment were doing so because they were being paid by George Soros. So listen, let me get it. I think I have other. Is it other John first?
Yes.
Let me get other John first. Then we'll get Frank and then we'll get John on. I think that's the way it goes, right? Yep, we're right there. Other John, sorry, I'm trying to get the calls organized as we're going here. How you doing, man?
Pretty well, thank you, Nathan.
All right.
I had the confidence that we would be hearing both from the president and vice president of the Morons for Trump local chapter, and I suspect that's going to be coming true. But with respect to the bomber, Caesar Sayoc?
Yeah, Kayak.
Well, I thought there was an S in there. But
yeah, I thought it was Caesar. No, you might be right. Is it S-A? Y-O-C? Yeah, S-A-Y-O-C, Sayoc, or Sayoc, something like that.
At any rate, I think we're far from being done investigating who is primarily responsible for this idiocy that just occurred. He's homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Fact number one. Number two, he's living in a van that's loaded with garbage.
Right.
And Trump merchandise, although I think they're one and the same. But... The question is, who provided him the technical expertise, which was clearly lacking, because none of these things exploded?
Mm-hmm.
Who provided him with the plans, the workspace, and the materials? Because if he used something like gunpowder, which is not terribly expensive, but I don't know if an unemployed guy living out of his van could afford it.
And then how do you assemble all of that stuff when you've got your entire life inside of a van? That's crowded up with a whole bunch of other stuff. How do you even have the workspace to do something like that?
Well, you don't, because somebody had to provide him the workspace.
Yep.
And the technical expertise, and as it was pointed out to me, that somebody needs a computer to print the labels, and this guy doesn't have his, probably does not have a laptop in his white van that's loaded with garbage and Trump material.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we need to look further to find out who was actually supporting him.
Yep.
Or supported him. And I further suspect that he was just a useful idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at, useful idiots were very popular with Stalin and company. And if you take a look at guys like Torshin, the Russian banker.
Yep.
Big shot Russian banker that is affiliated with the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody would know about gunpowder, it would be the NRA.
There you go.
But anyway, that's my 2 cents for this week.
Well, John, I'm glad we're back. Good talking with you. I look forward to continuing talking to you during the course of the weeks that follow. Let's grab Frank in Niagara Falls, then we'll get John in Rochester. Frank, how are you doing out there?
Hello, sports fans. Hey, Nathan, I watched Game 3 of the World Series, waiting for 18 innings to see the Dodgers win. 7 hours and 18 minutes, but I dozed off just before the winning home run.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, I feel like I missed out, but I've been missing a lot lately, Nathan. Like the point where Republicans began protecting pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, you missed that.
Yeah, I must have slept through that too, Nathan.
Yep, you got to keep awake.
You know, I think I'm going through a midlife crisis, you know. I've been volunteering for the Democratic cause since the mid-90s, and I didn't get one darn dollar from George Soros.
No?
You know?
I thought he was handing out money all over the country.
Yeah, I don't know where I missed out, Nathan. By the way, when I first saw the Make America Great Again bomber van,
uh-huh,
I thought it was the Fox News van on the scene advertising their programming. You know, I have a theory about that bomber, Nathan. I think somebody in the Trump administration, encouraged the nutcase to send the bomb so Trump has an excuse when Republicans get their butts handed to him on November 6th.
Yep.
No matter what conservatives say, Democrats are the same majority. And eventually, not all the gerrymandering or voter suppression in the world would defeat us. All we have to do is vote, Nathan.
And I hope that people do. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate you, man. Great job. All right, let me grab John in Rochester and get his thoughts. All right, so John, talk to me about, you know, your feelings about this Cesar Sayoc.
Well, first off, I thought maybe Trump perpetrated a right-wing conspiracy to keep you off the air for the last month.
It could have been. He could have been using UB for that purpose. But you know, you UB and me are okay. I'm an alumni, so we're all right.
Well, me too. But listen, I got to say, UB best record since 1959 when they were undefeated.
Yep.
That's another story. Yeah, I'll tell you, I was surprised that this guy was a so-called Republican and a Trump supporter.
Why would you be surprised?
I really thought it was going to be an Antifa-type double agent ploy to try to make the Republicans look bad. So I was actually surprised that this guy was a Trump supporter.
But why would you be surprised that this guy would be a Trump supporter? You rarely ever hear of a progressive doing something like that. You may hear progressives like the Antifa people getting themselves ready to have to fight these Nazis that come to progressive rallies. You may have seen that, but you rarely ever see a progressive person involved in something like that. If you look at all of these terrorist acts that have taken place in the United States that have been done by Americans, almost all of them have been done by people that have sentiments identical to the sentiments of this Cesar Sayoc. Almost all of them that have been done by Americans have been this kind of a person as the perpetrator.
No, I disagree with you on that.
Well, name a case you can remember that's not that.
Well, the one case, the most notable recent case was the shooting of Steve Scalise, the attempted murder of about 20
Republican
congressmen.
That's true.
That's true.
But name another case other than that one.
Well, the shooting of Gabby Giffords. You know that assassin was a Democrat, a progressive.
Now you're telling me that it was a progressive who attacked the progressive Gabby.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
violent.
What's your source on that?
What's your source on that?
See, because you guys always do that. You always throw this stuff out there. You always throw stuff out there with no support.
What do you mean?
Where's the support?
Did you see Ted Cruz getting intimidated in their face? Mitch McConnell last week in his face.
How was that the same as somebody pulling a gun on somebody or somebody sending bombs to somebody?
I just gave you an example. Steve Scalise and 20 other congressmen were I gave you the caveat
that it is not absolutely 100%. All of these things that have been done by American terrorists were done by somebody who was a Nazi racist conservative like this Cesar Sayoc. You can always find one example, but what I'm saying to you is if you look at all of these cases, I mean come on, John, you really have to be more honest about this.
Nathan,
the vast majority of terrorist acts that have taken place in the United States have been terrorist acts committed by Americans.
The Chernoff brothers were terrorists. They were left-wing terrorists.
They were Chechnians.
You are in denial.
They were Chechnians. Yeah. And it,
I just named it. Gabby Giffords' assassin
was not a progressive. That's not true. That's just not true.
Yes, he was.
All right. So you know what I'm going to do?
You're in denial.
All right. If you come on next week, I will give you chapter and verse. The opposite of what you're saying.
Obama's statement, don't bring a knife to a gunfight, get in Republicans' faces. Come on. Let's face it.
What has that got to do with anything?
Well, you just said inciting violence.
Have you seen a single incident? Have you seen a single incident where somebody who was listening? Have you seen a single incident where somebody was?
People, come on. You're in denial.
If you've seen a single incident when somebody.
I just named 10 of them.
But you're saying things that aren't true. You just make. Okay, I gotta rock. I got to get Tony on before the end. Oh, we don't? Oh, okay. Well, hold on, John. John, did I lose you there?
No, I'm here.
Okay. I just want to try to see, because if we talk over each other, we're not making actual points. What I'm saying to you is, and I will demonstrate this to you when you call next week, if you look at all of the terrorist acts that have occurred in the United States across the history of the United States, those recent, those not so recent, those distant, if you look at all of them, you will find that almost all of them, not every one, but almost all of them were perpetrated by people who present themselves, describe themselves as being essentially American nationalist, conservative, right-wing, racially more oriented kinds of people. Virtually all of them have been that. Not every one, but the vast, 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 vast majority of them have been those cases.
No, now, you're way off base on
okay,
that.
Well,
you're
I'm gonna, off. But I'm and gonna
I'll
demonstrate.
I'll bring my gun to a knife fight next
okay.
week.
Okay, all right, bring actual research, okay? And we'll chat next week, okay?
I love you, man.
All right, thanks, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, let's grab Tony, get his last thoughts before we miss this hour. Tony, how are you doing out there?
On CNN, they had the lawyer for this bomber.
Uh-huh.
And you listen carefully out there, audience. This man never had a father that was a legitimate father. He adopted, and this isn't my word, this is his lawyer's. He said it this morning, yesterday on CNN. He adopted Trump as his father figure.
Yep.
This man is his father figure. Now, what else can you say about the issue? And as far as what John's trying to sell, I hope he tries to sell the Buffalo Bills as beating the Patriots. That would be a great thing for him to sell. Unfortunately, I live in the real world, and his world is something way out there in space. Thank you.
All right. Take care. I want to just lay this quick thought out for you. I pulled this from a speech that was delivered by Martin Luther King. I hope I can find it in my notes here. Yep, here it is. This came from a speech that he delivered in 1967 that was entitled Chaos or Community. And it said, the ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie, nor establish the truth. Through violence, you may murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate. So it goes, returning for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. This was in his speech, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community, in 1967. It's important for us to understand the lessons from our history. Every time we have allowed ourselves to descend into this tit for tat, violence for violence, hate for hate, all we do is increase the very thing that we're trying to stop. Let's learn from history. Obviously, doing the same things over and over and over again and getting the same results, if the results aren't good results, you should stop doing the same things. Do something else. That's what we should be doing on this program. That's what we named the program, Think Again. That's what we want to do, is think again. We'll see you all next week here right at this station, 1520 AM on your dial, Saturday, 11 o'clock to 12 noon. See you next week.
You've been listening to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. Be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for more Think Again.